Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower. Now
when I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
Y'all want some more? Y'all want some more of that? Are y'all sure y'all want some more of that?
I'm a
Sometimes you gotta patch
How many people are encouraged tonight?
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host today is Overseer Sadie Elliott. So sorry for the inconvenience, but you know you have to go on. I've been waiting for the call of the guests today that should be on, that have not come on, but I have to do what God has required for me to do. So I have to go on anyhow, despite whatever may have come up. So we're going to praise God today. We still have an exciting topic that we will talk about today. And we're going to give praise. But before we start off with our topic today, I want to say a little prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the people who are listening today, dear Heavenly Father. Bless each and every one of them that have come to the line today, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise, dear Heavenly Father. We trust in you, dear Heavenly Father. We trust your promise to us today, dear Heavenly Father, that no matter what the enemy try to throw in, dear Heavenly Father, we're standing tall. We come to glorify you today. We come to give you the praise, dear Heavenly Father, because it's all about you. It's not about us, dear Heavenly Father. We come to lift up the name of Jesus today, dear Heavenly Father. And as we go through today on the line, dear Heavenly Father, through the listening audience that may be listening in, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you, let it be something said or done that will enlighten somebody else and bring somebody else closer to Christ, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you this in Jesus' divine, precious name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, today, you know, I need to always, as the old folks say, keep a spare in the hole in case something come up with technical difficulty or in case a guest can't come on and they can't get in touch with you. So I have something else extra that we can bring on today. And I know the show is for a 2-hour segment. I may do the 2 hours and I may not. But I hope you all hold on a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for that little interruption. But you know God is good. What the devil meant for bad, God turned it around and meant it for my good. And I give God praise for that today. So any callers that's on the air today, I know you was expecting our gospel artist today, but she has never called in, so I don't know what came up. But we're going to go on anyhow. And today we're going to talk on the topic, trusting God's promise. And that's going to be coming from Acts, the 27th chapter, 1 through 34. And if we have any guests that would like to come on or might be listening in that would like to help with this topic today, feel free to just dial in. And the number to dial in is area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. And we are on this line to be able to bring you right in. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for staying with us in the spite of. All right. You know, as I went through that, trusting God's promise. You know, we can trust God's promise that's in the Word of God. Well, we can't trust people. We can trust God's promise. You know, believers can trust God's promise and encourage others to place their trust in God. We have to know when God give us something to do, we got to be upholding to do what God have given to us to do. And you know, and by studying this lesson today, you can determine trust God's promise in difficult times. No matter what you're going through today, you can still trust God. Put your trust in God and not man. God will never fail you. And as I was going through that, you know, Christian faith is no insurance policy against difficult times. That's going to come up in your life. We can expect trouble because we live in a troubled world. What can sustain believers when life presents extreme challenge to them? My. You know, the Bible offers assurance of God's presence and his provision for us in every circumstance. My friend spoke of the special scripture that comforted her when she was going through something, you know, and the constant theme was God's presence and provision, even in death. You know, God offered his peace and presence to sustain us during challenging times that come up in our lives. You know, this week's lesson I'm going to emphasize talking about Paul. Paul's example of relying on God's promise in time of trouble. And where I put Paul in today, put your name there. I'll put my name, Sadie, relying on God's promise in times of trouble. You know, it would help you to learn to rely more deeply on God and to encourage others to rely on him as well. See, I learned a long time ago I couldn't rely on something else and somebody else. I had to rely strictly and depend on God to encourage myself. That's why I played the song, Encourage Yourself. When you're going through stuff, when the enemy is trying to come in like a flood to throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink, you got to step back and encourage yourself. Then you have to smile. That's why I play I Smile. Because when you're going through something, you got to put a smile on your face. You might be crying on the inside, but when you just start smiling and say, God, you got this. It's all under control. And then when you can say, at the altar, you can go to the altar and lay every burden, every care, everything that you have been dealing with, you can lay it at the altar. And that's when you can say, trust in God's promise. Because when he trusts you something and when he tells you something, he's going to fulfill his promise. So as I go through the scriptures a little bit today on our topic, trusting God's promises, you know, as I read in Acts 27, 1 through 12, and I'm going to just give a little synopsis of it. You know, here Paul was sailing from Rome. Paul appeared to require a trip to Rome for his hearing. This trip was difficult from the start because the wind was not favorable. You know, the winds are blowing in your life right now, and you don't know which way to go, what to do. But Paul warned the centurion who was taking him to Rome to implement disaster. Despite his warning, the pilot and owner of the ship swayed the majority to go to sea anyway and try to winter in suitable harbor. You know, just think about how many people in your life have tried to sway you or tell you to go this way and go that way. And God have already give you the direction. He gave you the promise on what to do, which way to go. But you'd rather follow the majority than to do what God said. And then when something happened, you won't go back to God and say, God, you did, it wasn't God. God had already promised you what he wanted you to do, how he wanted you to do it, and when you should do it. But you decide, like it was saying in the word of God, the ship swayed to the majority to go to sea anyway. God had told you, don't go down there to a street called K. I'm using that, paraphrasing it. Go to I. When you get to I, make a left-hand turn. But you thought you know more than God. You thought everybody else know more than what God would say. So you decide to go to street called J and make a right turn. Now, listen now. God had already promised you the promise and the blessing he had already in store for you. You was going to find it on street I. But you done missed your blessing because you go to street J. Make a left turn and run into all kind of danger. Everything that you can possibly think of. You know, as we read a little bit further in verse 13. And it was saying, I'm going to just read a little bit about it in verse 13. Let me turn over to my Bible in chapter 27. And the word of God said, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they have attained their purpose, losing this, they sail close by Crete. You know, and as I read a little bit further, I said, okay, Lord, what you saying? Here they're facing a storm. But see, they would have missed the storm if they would have obeyed the promise that God had given. God had already given them the direction to go in. But here they was facing a storm. Soon after departing, the ship ran into a raging Mediterranean storm that blew it far off course. The battering was so severe that the crew began to throw the cargo overboard. As the storm continued unabated, they gave up hope of survival. My. Now, how many of you all today that's listening to me on the Blog Talk program, trusting in the promise of God? How many of you are facing a storm today in your life? How many of you all have been battered, tossed, and turned that you didn't have to get rid of this, get rid of that? Just like in the world where they had to begin to throw all the cargo overboard as the storm continued. How many storms are continuing raging in your life today that you done gave up hope? God don't want you to do that today. Don't give up hope. Continue on in the faith. Continue on looking at the promise that God has given you. And as I went to verse 18, the word of God says, and being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day the lightning, the ship. I'm going to read that again. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And verse 19 says, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Then verse 20 says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest laid on us, all hope that was sure be saved was being taken away. My. Here, we're going to come here with some encouraging words. You know, and as the situation worsened and food ran low, Paul encouraged the crew. An angel of the Lord had revealed to him that though they would be shipwrecked, they would all survive. That's what God is telling you today. Those of you that's been facing a storm, it seems like you've been shipwrecked. But you are a survivor. He have survived you. He have kept you for himself. You know, the Lord wanted Paul to share the gospel message in Rome. Through it all that he went through, Paul encouraged the men to keep up their courage. Here, that's why I played, encourage yourself today. Because here, Paul had to encourage the men. And I'm encouraging you today, those of you that's going through today, that may need some encouragement. Keep the faith. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You know, as we read on, hallelujah, hallelujah to the name of God today, I had to realize I had to go on. I had to trust God with the promise he had given to me, overseer Sadie, with joy and peace. I couldn't throw in the towel. I had to go on. In spite of whatever may have been going on, I had to go on. And here, you know, after 2 weeks, they approached land. Paul urged everyone to eat and to gain strength. Paul himself thanked God for the food and ate. The ship ran aground just as Paul had said. and all of the crew, which was 276 crew and passenger, survived. Just think about you and your family today, about you been facing a storm. Then I'm trying to give you some encouraging words today to just lean and depend on God. He gave you all these promises in the Word of God. You may have been shipwrecked. You may have lost your car, lost your job, lost a family member. But I'm coming today to encourage you. Read the Word. Read the promises that God has for you. You are a survivor today. You may have been shipwrecked just a little while. But look how God raised you up for such a time as this, that you'll be able to give strength to someone else today. No matter what you're going through, remember the promises that God has given to you. My. You know, as I go on into the Word of God in the Scriptures, you know, after his arrest in Jerusalem, Paul defended himself against false charges on at least three occasions before Felix, before Festus, before King Agrippa. At an unofficial hearing, he probably realized the impossibility of a fair trial in Judah and appeal his case. Here he appealed his case, you all. This appeal prompted his transfer to Rome by sea. You know, during this journey, his ship encountered a tremendous storm. Some of you are going through storms right now in your life. You don't understand them. Hold on. Put your seatbelt on. You may be in for a ride. You may be tossed from one side to the other, but you're going to survive. Because God said it so in his word. You trust in God's promises. You're not trusting your own promises, your own self, but you're trusting in God's promises. You know, and in verse 18, the author of Acts, Luke, accompanied Paul to Rome as indicated by the pronoun we. His presence provides us with thrilling details of the journey and the stone. You know, usually the stone gave the ship a violent battering, but the crew had few options in the face of such a turmoil except to ride out the storm. One thing they could do was lighten the load and throw the cargo overboard. The main cargo of such ship, the main cargo of such ship was grains. Through this, it's not specified. You know, in verse 19, the storm had not abated by the third day, and the crew was forced to further lighten the ship. That's what you got to do. Sometimes you got to lighten your load. The load you carry is too heavy. That wasn't your load in the first place. You took up that load of someone else, and you started carrying somebody else's load. You know, probably, you know, they dismantled the heavy main mast and threw it into the sea. Now they had no means of navigation and was carried along by the storm. You see, the enemy has been trying to come in on this program all day. But I rebuke him right now. Now he's trying to cause me to sneeze. Don't have a cold. Don't have no allergies today. But I'm going to finish this program today in the name of Jesus because I'm trusting God's promise. You know, the storm continued for many days. They could neither see the sun nor the stars. And that's where you all feeling right now in your life, the storm that you're going through. It don't seem like you can see any daylight coming through right now. But not only could they no longer navigate the ship, but they had no way of even knowing where they were. Ha, ah, my. See, that's when you take the wrong turn, and God tell you which way to go, but you go the way you want to go. And when you end up on the wrong street, on the wrong highway, down the wrong lane, in the wrong city, at the wrong, in the wrong state, ha, ah, my. You know, after many days, they gave up all hope of being saved. God don't want you to give up hope today. He promised you a promise. The crew had done everything in their power to save their ship. Though highly skilled, their efforts was fruitless. Someone has said that not until Christ is all we have to do, we realize Christ is all we need. See, when you start depending on Jesus and the promise that he gave to each and every one of us, like those sailors in the Word of God, we must reach a point where we realize our helplessness. You know, the problem and the challenge are often so great that our best effort to solve or overcome them are ineffective. Yet, unlike the sailors, we can still live with hope. You know, in Christ, we have everlasting refuge of strength. He promised us that he will always be with us. One of the best strategies for facing a difficult circumstance is to surround yourself with people of hope who can remind you of God's promise. You don't need to be around negative people always talking about negative things. You need to be around positive people that can keep you on course, praying for you, giving you the word of God. You know, if there are sometimes people out there that don't want you to succeed, whether you know it or not. It was some people would throw a monkey wrench in everything that God have told you to do. But when you start reading the promises of God, his promises never fail. You know, these positive Christians, that's what we're talking about right now, the trust in God and the promise, we're going to talk about now these positive Christians can broaden your perspective, remind you how God take care of us in difficulty times. My. You know, though those on the ship had given up hope, don't give up hope today. Paul was the lonely voice proclaiming a God who is our Lord over circumstances. He is your Lord no matter what circumstances you're going through today. Those who possess hope should pass it on to those who are struggling. It's a lot of you all are struggling today with your identity, who you are. Do you know whose you are, who you belong to? Move fear out of the way. While discouragement is highly contagious, so is Christian optimism. Be sure to share your hope with others today. No matter what you're going through, remember God promised to you today. You know, actually, we may have simply been a way of assuring that his word could be trusted. You can trust God's word. He was right about the storm. He would be right about the deliverance. He can bring you out that storm that you're in today, no matter what it is, no matter what it looked like. Trust in God's promise. You know, as I went to verse 22, the word of God said, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." You know, the crew and the passenger had given up hope of being saved. They had given up on Paul's words. I urge you to keep up your courage today. Address their greatest need. Circumstances can be overwhelming. However, it is not the circumstance that defeat us. Defeat comes when we give in to fear and surrounding our hope. When faced with adversity, courage can help us maintain a tenuous hopefulness. You know, Paul's point was that not one of you will be lost. That's what God telling you today. You won't be lost. Though the ship would be destroyed, all of the crew and passenger would survive. In the midst of a storm of that magnitude, Paul's words of hope must have sounded unlike indeed. You know, as we went to verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I am and in whom I serve." I think I better read that again. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." My. Here, the only solid source of hope is God. We cannot manufacture hope in our own strength. It must be grounded in something greater than ourselves. Paul's encouragement came from God through an angel. But notice now, also that Paul underscored his commitment to God by referring to the God whose I am and whom I serve. My. He knew that he belonged to God. And as a servant of God, Paul would not even have been on the boat except for his commitment to spread the gospel. Ah, you know, assuring during a storm is easy to sense if we have walked close to God before the storm. It is easy to hear God with our spiritual ear before the wind starts to blow, then afterward. Paul heard God's word of hope and comfort in the storm after hearing, you know, having hearing and listening carefully for so long. But you know, we go down to verse 24, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee." You know, here God's purpose for Paul was that he would stand trial before Caesar. The storm would not fluctuate that purpose. God is sovereign over all circumstances. In addition to preserving Paul's life, God told him that he had graciously given him the lives of all who sailed with him. You know, because he is gracious, God bless even those who do not acknowledge him. His desire is that they would use the opportunity to turn to him. My. You know, verse 25 and 26 say, "Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." My. You know, Paul, again, he encouraged the frightened crew to keep up that courage. Courage must be renewed. It never remained constant, but required regular maintenance. Hope is not self-sustaining, meeting daily with God, seeking his face in prayer, and searching for fresh strength from his word is essential to survive life's storm with hope. You know, we should also note that God's deliverance is independent of circumstances. The ship still run aground, but the shipwreck did not mean that God had forsaken Paul. We should never focus on circumstances as the proof of God's involvement in our lives. Focusing on conditions around us can build us to God's promise. My. Ooh, Lord, persistent encouragement to trust God even in the midst of a storm can bring hope. I think I'm going to say that again. Persistent encouragement to trust God even in the midst of a storm can bring hope. When the storm of life are raging, dedication, Christians can remind you of God's faithfulness and help you to focus on Him, not the winds and waves of turmoil. You know, without any sense of location, of distraction, the crew and passenger was tossed alone in the storm for 2 weeks before approaching land. You know, fearful of shipwreck, the crew lowered anchors and waited for daylight. You know, the situation was extremely dangerous, and in spite of Paul's assurance, many feared for their lives. And I'm going to jump over to verse 33. And the word of God said, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing.'" You know, while dawn approached in the land nearby, Paul knew that everyone would need strength to survive the coming shipwreck. He repeated his uplifting counsel of a few days early and coupled it with practical advice. He urged them all to eat because it had been 2 weeks since they had eaten a meal. You know, the constant suspense and the lack of food was a dangerous combination. The conclusion of the drama would be written by forcing out of their hands. They could do nothing more for the ship. They needed to do what they could to take care of themselves. My. And in verse 34, "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not any hair fall from the head of any of you." You know, here, days earlier, Paul had urged them to keep their courage with the same sense of urgency. He said, "I urge you to take some food, for they would need it to survive." Paul repeated the promise that it was all a lie and no one would lose a single hair from their head. Even in a crisis situation, it is important to take care of basic needs. You know, I often see family members in peril of their own health as they cared for and worried over the health of another member of their family. You know, in order to care for someone else, we must also take care of ourselves by getting proper rest and nourishment. Depriving ourselves does not help the one who loves. My. And in verse 35, it said, "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." You know, a true leader not only speaks, but also take action. Paul took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all, setting the example for them to follow. Praying before his meal underscored his dependence on God. Our focus always must be on God and his strength and not on our own resources. Let me say that again. Our focus must be on God and his strength, not on our own resources. See, our dependence on God's strength this morning, where our guest wasn't able to come on, where I was not able to get some of the music time enough from the time I received an email, but I had to go on. I had to know the strength didn't lie in me and my resources, but it relied in God. And as I went to verse 36, and it said, "Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat." My. You know, here the passenger and crew still was encouraged by Paul's words and action. This simple faith and trust re-energize a demonstrated group of people. You know, as I read that, all of them ate some food and gained the physical strength they would need for the coming day. God used Paul's faith to encourage others. Who can God use today? How many of you God can use through y'all to encourage somebody else's faith today? People have doubts enough of their own. Let them hear about your conviction and assurance. When you face a storm, surround yourself with faithful people who remind you of the God who is Lord over the storm. My. We give God praise for that today. We just saying thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. You know, God is just so good. And today, we wanted to honor God, be a helper, encouragement to you today. We wanted to honor God's promise to you today. What about you today? You will face tormented times at some point in your life. You may be in a time of trials right now. Sometime God comes and still the storm. Other times, he rides them out with you. You know, the key is that he is with you regardless of the outcome. Though he does not always bring peace to your circumstances, he can always bring peace to your soul. You can demonstrate and deepen your trust in God today during difficult times by following these few suggestions that I will give you today. First, acknowledge the limits of your ability. As long as you rely on your own strength, you are limited by your own strength. Most storms exceed your ability. Your own strength, cleverness, or willpower will not bring you through. Only the power of God can do that for you today. Second, remind yourself of God's strength and promise. Daily Bible study and prayer are vital in keeping God's faithfulness at the forefront of your mind. Also, let the experience of others who have been delivered by God encourage you today. Thirdly, take care of your spiritual need. I have known those who neglect worshiping while facing a storm because it did not make them feel better. Feeling, especially in the midst of a storm, are often unreliable. Do what is right and draw strength from the habit of worshiping and spiritual exercise. This is always blessing in obedience to God. Finally, for today, remember to thank God on the other side of the storm. It is human nature to pray with more intense during the trial than afterward. Sometimes the greatest test of our character is not adversity, but rather prosperity. Let your prayer of thanksgiving be as numerously as your prayer for deliverance today. Today I'm going to leave with you these helpful encouragements, honoring God's promise. I hope this information today was helpful. I hope your situation have changed or you have learned how to abide by God's promise and trust in God's promise. I know the show was for 2 hours today, but I was only prepared to do an hour since I had to switch the horse in midstream. I hope you all got something out of the program today for all of you all that's listening. or those that may come on the archive later. Keep encouraging yourself. Go to the altar. Keep a smile on your face, even when you're going through a storm. And I know you say, how can I smile when all hell is breaking loose in my home and all this are happening? Look to the hills from which cometh your help. For your help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And until next week, please be blessed. I love you, and so do God. Have a wonderful week. And be blessed. Bye-bye.